Would you please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 103? Psalm 103. Title today is Bless the Lord, O My Soul. We'll be looking at both Psalm 103 and Psalm 96, the psalm we read a little bit a while ago. But we'll begin here in Psalm 103. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for the Psalms. They're such a wonderful part of your word. And the Psalms we look at today teach us how to bless you. So teach us this. Teach us what it means for us to bless you with our soul, that you may be lifted up among us and glorified as you deserve to be. So help us in this study by your Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes we use this idiom, go through the motions. Did you ever say that? Go through the motions. It means you do something that you have to do or you're expected to do, but without any real effort or enthusiasm. A lot of people go through the motions in worshiping God. They may even think that God is happy with us just going through the motions. As long as God sees us going through the motions of worship, he must be pleased, right? Because we have gone through the motions of worship. But if we're going to demonstrate a real appreciation for the many things that God is, and if we're going to express a real thankfulness for all of the things that God has done, and a real gratefulness for all of the things that God has given us, it's going to take a lot more than going through the motions. In Psalm 103, 7 times it tells us to bless the Lord. Verse 1, it says it twice. Verse 2, it says it once. Verse 20, and verse 21, and then twice in verse 22. 7 times in this Psalm 103, bless the Lord. What does it mean for us to bless the Lord? Well, I have a lot of technical definition here, but let me just make it practical for you. When we ask God to bless us, what are we asking for? Aren't we looking for some kind of benefit that might be given to us as a result of God's blessing? Let's go to the very first place in the Bible where the word bless is used, and that's in Genesis chapter 12. And God is the very first one to use the word bless, and he uses it in relationship to Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And he indicates that by his blessing upon Abraham, Abraham is going to receive a lot of benefits, and through Abraham, the entire world will receive some benefit. It says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, we understand what the implication of verse 3 is when it says that all of the families of the earth will be blessed through Abraham, because it's through Abraham's line of descendants that the Redeemer will ultimately come and provide salvation. So when we look for God to bless us, and when God said he blesses man, there is some kind of benefit, some kind of thing that he gives us or advantage he provides for us. So if we are going to bless God, what is it that we can give to him that would benefit him? It's not as though God would lack something if we didn't bless him. But Scripture does indicate there are things that we can give to him. And for this, let's go to Psalm 96. Psalm 96, verse 1. We can bless the name of the Lord through singing. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Why do we sing hymns when we come together and worship? We are actually blessing the name of the Lord when we sing to him. We're not singing to ourselves. We're not singing to entertain ourselves. We're not singing because it's fun to just gather around and sing. Our attitude should be, at least, that we are singing these songs to the Lord. And we are blessing his name as a result of our singing. Verse 3 says, declare his glory among the heathen. And verse 10 says, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. Now, a heathen person is anyone who doesn't believe in God. We can bless God by declaring his name among those who do not believe in him. And introduce him to them by our declaring his name and his glory. Verse 4. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. We can bless God by fearing him as the creator, showing respect to him as the one who made all things. Do we look at nature and just marvel at the way things have come about, or do we, when we look at nature, actually express praise to God for his marvelous creation? Verse 6, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. We can bless the Lord by acknowledging to him the honor he deserves. One of the ways that we can bless the Lord is in our prayers, tell him what we know about him. Say, God, you are a glorious God. You are clothed with honor and majesty. Well, he knows that. We don't have to tell him. In fact, we can't tell him anything he doesn't already know. But why would we tell him those things? Because here it says that when we declare those things to the Lord, we are giving him, we are blessing him, we are honoring him. We are giving him words of praise that enhance his glory. Verse 8, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. The word glory has to do with something that makes a person really special. One way maybe to illustrate that is when someone is standing on a stage and they put the spotlight on him. You ever see one of those big spotlights, you know, it's all dark around, but the spotlight shines, and you see that person giving glory due unto his name is like shining the spotlight on God for those around us, that they may see how glorious he is. And verse 9 says, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The operative word here is holiness. Not worshiping the Lord in expressions of the flesh, not worshiping him with devices of worldliness, not worshiping him in an exercise of self-promotion through an emotion-driven performance, but worshiping God in a reverence suitable to his holiness and in a manner that shows our utmost respect for the holiness of God and in mannerisms that are compatible with the holiness of God. Physical gestures do have a place in worshiping God. How many of you bow your head when we pray? Do you bow your head? Yeah. Do you ever say to a child, now we're going to pray, so bow your head and close your eyes and fold your hands. You ever say that to a child? Those are physical gestures, are they not? Yeah. Why do we do that? Do you know it's biblical? Genesis chapter 24 and verse 48. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 48. Abraham had sent his servant Eleazar to find a wife for his son Isaac. And Eleazar says in Genesis chapter 24, verse 8, and I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham. Isn't that interesting? We bless the Lord by bowing our head when we worship him. How is that? Because we are showing respect and reverence. King Jehoshaphat did the same thing over in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 18. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, worshiping the Lord. Then there's the matter of kneeling. Go over to Psalm 95, verse 6. Psalm 95. And verse 6, O come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. You know, there's going to come a day when everyone is going to kneel before the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that context, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what about the hands? What do we do with our hands? Psalm 63, verse 4. Psalm 63, verse 4. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. David says he lifted up his hands. We don't know what exactly that physical gesture was. And the term lift up does not always mean to raise in elevation. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 41 says, let us lift up our heart with our hands. How do you do that? How do you get that heart in your hands and lift it up? Or how about this? Psalm 25, verse 1 says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. How do you lift up your soul? How do you elevate it? He's obviously talking about something other than simple physical gesture. Go to Psalm 24. Psalm 24, verse 3. The question is, in Psalm 24, verse 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? And the answer is, verse 4, he that hath clean hands. Did you know that there, right outside of heaven's gate, there's a sink with soap? And you have to wash your hands in order to get into heaven. Is that what this is talking about? Or a pure heart. How do you purify your heart? It's interesting that he puts the hands and the heart together, because in exactly the same way that God uses the heart, the physical organ, as a representation for your inner being, he uses the hands as a representation for your outer being. So when he says clean hands, he's not talking about washing your hands with soap, but he's talking about living an outward life, a physical life, living in the physical world in a clean manner as far as his righteousness is concerned. And so Paul, over in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, makes this statement with regarding the hands and the lifting them up. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, I will therefore that men, pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. A lot of people use that as justification today for going through the motions. But I ask you, a lot of those people who are doing this physical gesture during worship these days, wonder what those hands have been doing all during the week. When he says holy hands, he's talking about a holy life on the outside. Thus, in blessing God, physical gestures have a minimal effect. There's a place for them. We see in Scripture people do one or another physical gesture. There's a place for them. But there's something deeper God is asking for. And for this, we go back to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What's your soul? I want to talk to you a little bit about your soul. What is your soul? And what does it do? The soul of man is part of that inner being that relates to this physical world. I had taken you here once before, Isaiah 29 and verse 8, remember about the dream that the person has about food? Did you ever dream about food? It says, it shall even be as when an hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awakeneth, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, for his soul hath appetite. It's your physical body that consumes food and drink. But the soul has this particular connection to the physical body, that inner being that is not physical, it's soul, not body. But it connects to this body. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 30 says, men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. Have you ever had that sensation? You're really, really hungry. And you finally get something to eat. And you can just like sigh. Oh, boy, that was good. You ever have that sensation? Oh, finally got something to eat. You know, it's more than your physical body that is sighing. It's your soul that is sighing. Because it connects to the physical experience of this world. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 24. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 24. The soul enjoys the labor of this physical world. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 24. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. Now, some of you may not have been in the job that was the dream job, but some of us have been able to enjoy that dream job. You know, when you're young, you think, what do I want to do with my life? What would make my life so fulfilled? And I've got this dream about this dream job and everything, and then you get that job, and you're not really working, you're having fun. Your soul is enjoying your labor. If you don't have that dream job, your soul is going to have a different kind of reaction, isn't it? But your soul connects to this physical world. The soul enjoys whatever is connected to this physical world. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 25 says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul. And Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 2 is just over a page. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 2. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth. Riches and wealth and honor, that's all part of this physical world. So why am I telling you all this? Because Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul is susceptible to sin. It's that part of our inner man that goes all the way in connecting to the things of this physical world. It's susceptible to temptation. It enjoys the more sinful things of this world, the fleshly things, the worldly things. But God wants to do something about that. And you know the verse, Psalm 23 and verse 3. What does he do for my soul in Psalm 23? He restores my soul. That part of my inner man that so loves the things of this world, God can change that. He can restore your soul so that it wants to do better. A restored soul then has the power of restraint. Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. The rest of the verse, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. A restored soul by the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, gives us the ability to exercise restraint regarding the things of this world so that we do not have to lift up our soul unto vanity. And in Psalm 25, verses 1 through 3, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. The restored soul has the shame removed. And such a restored state our soul, that inner part of us that is so susceptible to temptations of this physical world, that loves to indulge in the physical things of this world, that is so easily influenced by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, may instead bless the name of the Lord through singing. Our soul may bless God by declaring his name among the heathen. Our soul may bless God by fearing him as the creator. Our soul may bless the Lord by acknowledging the honor he deserves. Our soul may bless the Lord by shining the light of our words of praise on him. And our soul may bless the Lord by worshiping him in the beauty of holiness. And all of that from the inner being, our soul. Psalm 103. Why does God deserve to be blessed by our soul? Verse 3. Psalm 103, verse 3. This is number one. He forgiveth all thine iniquities. Number two, he healeth all thy diseases. Number three, he redeemeth thy life from destruction. Number four, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Number five, in verse five, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Number six, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Number seven, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Number eight, the Lord is merciful and gracious. Number nine, he is slow to anger. Number 10, he is plenteous in mercy. Number 11, he will not always chide, and the word chide means contend against us. Number 12, neither will he keep his anger forever. Number 13, he hath not dealt with us after our sins. Number 14, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Number 15, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Number 16 in verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Number 17, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Number 18, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth them, remembereth that we are dust. Number 19 comes from verses 15 through 18. Notice what he says. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. And number 20, verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Verse 1 in Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Sing praises to the name of the Lord. Declare his name among the heathen. Fear him as the creator. Acknowledge the honor he deserves. Shine the light of our words of praise on him and worshiping him in the beauty of holiness. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, not just my soul, but with my mind and with my heart and with my spirit. And with every element of humanity that is connected with each of these, with my thoughts, with the intents of my heart, and yes, with my feelings, not overt or overwrought feelings that are attention getting to myself, But bless the Lord with passion, with sincerity, and with zeal, so that when God looks upon me as I worship him, as he looks upon you as you worship him, he can look deep into our soul and see that we are not just going through the motions. We really mean it. Bless his holy name. God deserves all the thanks, all the gratitude, all the praise, all the blessing we can possibly give to him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are a glorious God. You are clothed with honor and majesty. You are omnipotent, omniscient, all-wise, full of mercy and grace. You are the truth. And you are our salvation. Please look into our souls. Do whatever restoring still needs to be done. Grant to us the ability to restrain ourselves from lifting up our soul to the world so that we can lift our soul up to you. And bless you. You deserve to be blessed. Thank you for so richly blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen.